from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
I feel like we're about to go quite rogue. Can you go quite rogue? You just go rogue, don't you? Believe it or not, listener, we do a little bit of planning before we hit the record button. And today we've decided that it's not that we haven't done any planning, it's that we think we should maybe think out loud about our editorial direction. You know, what comes next? What would we like to focus on? Because, A, you could definitely tell us what you'd like us to talk about. So that's always an option. So if you fancy that, just hit the comments when we share the episode. But otherwise, we were just kind of wanting to take a step back and just maybe have a little conversation about what we think might be worth looking at over the coming episodes. So Nigel, is there anything that's making you stay awake at night apart from the heat?
Actually, Martin, I'm completely over this heat nonsense. You know, that it's was 39 in London yesterday and it's going to be 39 again today. Now, I have lived in Melbourne where it's been 44 or 45 for days on end, and life goes on. So I had quite a comfortable night's sleep. It was fine using fans because I don't, like everybody, I don't have any air conditioning. So that is not my problem. What I'm more worried about is, and the way my brain has been thinking, is that there are some really big blocks being shifted around in the workforce. And I just feel when you focus on learning, you kind of miss the main point. It's like you suddenly leave the mainstream motorway and you end up on a tributary leading to some, you know, grotty service station halfway down the track. Now, if I get more frustrated, I'm looking for learning as transformation. And I don't see it. I see, let's build VR, let's do this. But is that going to transform the workplace? I'm not convinced. And I'm really now actively searching for evidence. And I think it is there in a few instances. But if you find the evidence, what steps had to be taken and how was it incorporated? And I think it was bigger thoughts than let's modify learning or let's invest in digital technologies. Martin.
Interesting. So we could be slightly guessing ourselves on the motorway and not going down the side roads too much to try and stretch out that metaphor a little bit more. I'll stop there on that one. I think that the reason what we did say before we hit the record button was I thought that actually there's been this, you know, it was all future of work, what technologies can do for you, what new technologies, seem to be a lot of that prior to COVID. It just feels like COVID's just blown all that out of the water and it's forced everyone to go digital or accelerate digital. And I think that the last 2 years have left organizations with, there are huge challenges around economics, you know, geopolitical stuff, climate change, you name it, massive changes and challenges. And skills is a really big part of that for organizations. But it just means that I think people are dealing with the fallout of the last couple of years. It's just, it feels to me like, you know, if you watch all the social channels, just see what's going on. It feels like it's quite quiet. It doesn't feel like new. It feels like not much is happening. And I could be completely wrong, but I think it's just more a reflection that people are really working hard to figure stuff out, make stuff happen. So with that as the context, I'm just thinking, well, where can we add value in terms of what we do? And a part of that is, I think, making, you know, connecting the dots, as you said. For me, an area of interest is the relationship between learning, talent and HR now as well. I think if everyone is vying to do what you've just said in terms of really support transformation and make it happen, then who's the front runner? in that. My concern is that learning is not going to be the front runner. So it's how, for me, there are elements around, you know, these are age-old issues, aren't they, about building, you know, kind of value and impact alignment. You know, these things are nothing new. But I think there's probably a danger and an opportunity right now around being the people who actually are seen to be, you know, that are capable and able and have a vision to make the change that you're describing. So I think there's some stuff in that. I don't think the technology things go away. I'm quite interested in what happens in terms of face-to-face interventions and what's going on there as a result of what's just happened. You know, have we completely de-skilled a lot of people who are very good at coaching, for example, and facilitation? And is that coming back? What's happening there? I think so. Picking through some of the changes that have come about from COVID, I think, is also important. They're my thoughts.
Right. I think that integration of learning, talent, and HR is very, very important. I think that people want a holistic proposition put to them in the workplace, and it's still not happening in most workplaces. Mm-hmm. They get this stuff from HR, this stuff from operations, this stuff from L&D, and it doesn't kind of fit together. And if you're talking about transforming work, how you do that without that kind of integration is really, well, I just don't think it happens at all. So I completely get that. I also think that it's beholden of us, and this is going to sound unbelievably arrogant, but it's beholden of us to bring to bear bigger thoughts than just L&D. You know, that, for example, I was reading recently Lights Out, which is this extraordinary analysis of the collapse of GE in the US, you know, period from maybe 2000 to recently, much of it focusing on the latter day, where GE made some extraordinary inept bets, largely driven by a CEO who, when he wanted something, he got it, you know, regardless of voices to the contrary. And if you look at, if you read that book with, so what was L&D doing through all of this? It's a bit of sad reading because they don't feature at all. Even though there was this massive digital transformation going on in the organization, it was wrong-headed. And GE's view was not to take people and offer them new opportunities, but to move to San Francisco and recruit a whole new workforce and set up a whole digital campus and build a whole separate digital product, which then they would retrofit to their existing kind of heavy engineering products. It was a disastrous foray, whereas it could have been great. And it could have been great if L&D had been at that top table with the CEO, saying, right, let's think about this as an integrated strategy with the whole workforce and not a separate strategy that divides, in a sense, the workforce. And what happens when you do that? You bring in a brand new workforce who are thousands of miles from the main centers of gravity of the organization. And the whole, what happens is that, and I have no evidence to support this, but what I suspect happened was the whole organization gathered together, resoundly resolved to destroy that lot in San Francisco and not make the product work and not do the incorporation. An amazing opportunity was lost. So that's what I mean by when I say that it's frustrating when you see these big corporate shifts and L&D being somewhere deeply, deeply in the weeds, not getting onto the fairway at all. And I think we need to bring bigger thoughts to bear. So I would like, Martin, for example, for us to look at some books like, you know, Lights Out, the GE book, because I think there's a lot of insight in that book. But no one in L&D is going to pick it up because it's just about, you know, the management and leadership of GE at a really tricky period in its history, from the, you know, from the 9/11 catastrophe through to, you know, firing two CEOs, not firing, but getting rid of two CEOs, and completely realigning as a company. But okay. Learning should be playing big in these kinds of transformations. And it wasn't. And you could say the absence of learning was a mitigating factor. I don't know.
So let's, the other thing is, we'll try and, I've noticed recently that we're floating towards the 10-minute episode.
Yeah, we should get it back again.
Which is, you know, let's try, we'll endeavour to get back between 5 and 10. What do you reckon as we do this?
I completely agree. Yeah, when I listen to the short episodes, I never think, oh, if only they'd gone on a bit longer.
Well, it's always,
that was the moment to finish. And I think we need to find some good moments to finish.
Okay. Okay, yeah, so, well, in that case, that one of them is now.
One of them is now. You're absolutely right.
How about that's not very professional, is it? Let's just wrap this up. Right, we're going to end now. So I think that's quite, I found that quite useful, just chatting about that, Nigel, because we didn't really know what each other was going to say. So I love the idea of the books as well. So I think we need to, you know, we've got some interesting research coming up that we can talk about that's not just about learning. We'll look at some of these books as well, and we'll try and look, you know, tackle some of those bigger blocks that are shifting around, as you said, and how learning can engage with, you know, those kind of conversations at a much higher level and have impact there. If that sounds like a good plan to you, then dear listener, that's what we will endeavour to do.
Indeed we will, Martin. Always a pleasure to talk.
Yeah, thanks, Nigel.
Bye. From scratch.